Greetings to each of you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. We have a wonderful God to serve. It's a blessing to gather together with fellow believers to worship, to sing together, to pray together, to worship together. So I thought of a message for this morning and prayed about it. There's a lot happening today in the world, isn't there? Maybe you don't read the news much. I probably read it too much. I've been feeling a little convicted about that. There's so much happening. There are so many hearts that are living in pain and fear and agony. Across the world, there are wars and rumors of wars. You find yourself fretting sometimes, worrying a little bit. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? God's people, we do not need to fear, but we should rather trust. I remember yesterday, my wife reminded me that it was 3 years ago yesterday that my father passed away. So you remember what we were doing 3 years ago today? And my father passed away, and I think about him, especially with the happenings over in Israel. He enjoyed talks about Israel and Israel in the future events and God's plan for Israel. He enjoyed talking about that, and I'm sure he would have some things to say as relation to what is happening. I began going down the line of preparing a message, lessons my father taught me, but the Lord redirected me. And I'd like you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 for a message this morning. Philippians chapter 3. As I thought about my father and his testimony, my mother, who both of them are gone, and as I thought about the happenings in the world and where I am as a man here in Valley, Pennsylvania, just a small part of God's whole universe. And as I ponder all these things, how should I live? What should be my desire? As we're reading Philippians chapter 3 and was led to this chapter, and I would like for you to think about your own personal life, your own journey. What is your overarching goal in life? So you think about the life that you're living. What is your goal? What takes up your energy? Is it your business? You think about your business and you think about where you want to be in 5 years from now and how you want to grow the business, and you put your time and energy into it. Is it your family? Is it your, you name it. What is your overarching goal? What are you striving for? What is the prize that you're wanting to gain? Is your mind focused on the earthly things? And those things aren't all wrong. We have businesses. We enjoy family. We enjoy things of this world. They're not all wrong. But what are you pressing into? What is your desire? The title of the message says simply this: Pressing Toward the Mark. And I want to read this chapter. And we'd like to look at Paul's teaching here. Some encouraging words. We'd like to look at this in a bit. I'm going to read the whole chapter of Philippians chapter 3. But think about it. What is your desire? When you boil your life down, what is your utmost desire? Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, for whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We'll stop there. My father talked often of the time when he would get new feet. As I said before, my dad was born with club feet. I think I said that not long ago. And he talked often about when he would get new feet. And I believe this morning my dad is enjoying a change. Well, let's see. When are our bodies changed? After the resurrection? I'm not sure. But I believe Dad right now is not having pain in his feet, and he's enjoying heaven, the beauties of heaven. loved ones pressing toward the mark. What are you pressing into? Let's look at this passage. Our theme verse could be verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul begins his exhortation in chapter 3, calling on the Philippians to rejoice in the Lord. And we as redeemed should be a rejoicing people. Rejoice in the Lord. Let's not get all bent out of shape and depressed and downcast of the happenings of the world today, but rejoice in the Lord. We serve a wonderful God. He has it all in control. He knows what is happening. We're to rest in Him. Rejoice in the Lord. He says, for him to write again, this wasn't tedious, but it was needful and safe for them. Now, in verse 2, he warns them. He is not warning them of dogs, of pit bulls and collies and other kinds of dogs. No, he is warning them of the Judaizers of the day who taught that in order for one to experience salvation and to be saved, they needed to be circumcised according to the law of Moses. And if they did not receive that circumcision, these Judaizers taught and infiltrated into the church this heresy that unless you were circumcised according to Moses' law, you couldn't be saved. And they infiltrated into the church this idea of circumcision. Paul refers to them as dogs, evil workers, and the concision. The concision simply means mutilators of the flesh. In verse 3, Paul describes the true people of God. They are people, those who worship God in spirit. Think of the verse that says, we worship God in spirit and in truth. They are those who are rejoicing in Christ Jesus. They are happy. They're rejoicing in Him. In number 3, they do not base their salvation on their earthly accomplishments or righteousness. Verses 4 to 6, Paul gives a list of his personal credentials, which he says, if anybody would have a right to rely on the flesh for salvation, he would. His credentials, Paul. He was circumcised the eighth day according to the law of Moses. The eighth day after his birth. He was of the stock of Israel. What does that mean? Well, he was descendants of Jacob. His bloodline was clean and clear. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. His bloodline was not tainted with Gentile influence, but he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, one of the two tribes that were spoke a lot of held high in the time. As touching the law, he was a Pharisee, and he was a staunch Pharisee. He sat under the teachings of Gamaliel. He was taught of the best. He persecuted the church. He was zealous for the Jewish religion. Zealous in what he did. And you remember the account of him being arrested by Jesus on the road to Damascus. As touching righteousness that was in the law, Paul was blameless. It's more than it could be said of me, but he was blameless. He lived the law blameless. If any had it together, it was Paul. If anyone could trust in their fleshly merits for salvation, it was Paul. He had it all together. verses 7 to 11, Paul tells us that those things that were gained to him, he counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Paul recognized in verse 8 that to trust in the things that he considered gain to him, those things of the flesh, would hinder him from experiencing salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Now in verse 10, Paul expresses his intense desire that he may know him, that he may know Jesus Christ. And as you read this verse, you get the feeling that Paul has this intense desire that he would be able to experience the fullness of Jesus Christ. And I wonder sometimes that if we have that desire to learn to know Jesus better, to live in the fullness of him. You know, our lives have become so full of running to and fro. I'm challenged by those who take time for their, I know that devotional time takes time. But why is it that so easily we can become too busy and we skip it? What is your passion, your desire? I'm speaking to myself. Be filled with the fullness that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul possibly is referring to the dying daily that needs to happen in order to walk with Jesus. Perhaps he is referring to the physical death of Jesus, that he wants to, no matter what his situation would unfold here, he is ready to die as Jesus did, die for Christ. Paul may have been saying that he desires a deep relationship with Jesus, that if he should be called to die as Jesus did, he is willing to do it. Paul speaks in verse 11 of attaining and arriving at the resurrection of the dead, to become more like Christ in death to self, is to experience more of his resurrection power in new life. Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, in verses 12 to 14, Paul is telling us that in his experience, he has room to grow in learning to know Christ better. Paul says he is going to keep striving for this deeper relationship. He is going to apprehend, or what does this mean? It means to lay hold of. This word apprehend simply means to lay hold of or seize that for which Christ laid hold of him for. In order to do this, Paul says he is going to forget those things which are behind and reach forth to those things which are before. He is going to press toward the mark. The mark, I believe, here is of learning to know Christ more, as stated in verse 10. That is the mark he is talking about. I press toward the mark of learning to know Christ more. The pressing forward, becoming at rest with the past and growing in grace is not without reward. There are blessings and reward in this. There are blessings and rewards in this life for serving the Lord. But loved ones, let's not forget the prize that yet awaits us beyond. Where this would all be worth it, if our loved ones could tell us today of what they are experiencing in heaven, surely they would tell us it's worth it. It's worth every toil. It's worth every suffering. It's worth everything to lay down our life and to serve the Lord Jesus. For the prize, I don't know how to put my thoughts together, but I trust the Holy Spirit can speak to your heart and the need that you have. You see, our conversation in verse 20, for our conversation, now this doesn't mean our talking together back and forth. This word means our citizenship is in heaven. This word also means community. As Mennonite Anabaptist people, we're blessed with a tremendous community of believers here on earth. But in verse 20, Paul is telling us our community, our conversation is in heaven. Loved ones, we have no continuing city here. We seek one to come. Should in the next 5 minutes nuclear bombs destroy the earth, our conversation is in heaven. Let's not fear. For those who are ready. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. And to explain that to the unbelievers, they think you're crazy. Because you live here. Of course this is your home. Yes, it is. But we have been raised to a newness of life. Our body and the things that we do of flesh, our works of this world and things, they stay here. But there is part of us, the spiritual, immortal soul of us, that is redeemed and connected with heaven. The presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And that's what's so beautiful. When we die in Jesus, we're buried here in the cemetery and our body lays here. But our spirits go on to be with the Lord. But at the end of time, we believe that when the resurrection is, our bodies will rise from the grave. Resurrected bodies be reunited with our Spirit and live forever with the Lord. How that's going to be, I don't know. But you know what, loved ones? Just the same as at 9 o'clock we started church and it's what, 10:40 now? Time has passed. And if the Lord tarries, church will be over and we'll go home and time continues. And just as that is normal and we know the process of times. No doubt you know what you're going to have lunch, and it's all normal. Well, you know what? This whole thing of the world coming to an end in time and the redeemed going home to heaven and the unbelievers being judged, it's all going to happen. It's not some myth, or maybe not. The Bible tells us we believe it. Now, let's look. What is Paul telling us? What's he trying to explain to the Philippians and to us? You see, we are called, verse 14 is our theme verse, if I didn't mention it before, but I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Out of the mercy and love and grace of the God and Father of heaven, in sending Jesus to earth to die as a sacrifice for man, to bring a way that man again could commune and fellowship with God, he calls. It is a high calling. He calls sinners to repentance. He calls. And there is no one excluded from his call. He calls. It's a high calling. I want to look at some keys to reaching forward to those things which are before. I had told you some time ago, I think, but I couldn't help but thinking about it again as I studied, of my trip to Guatemala in my younger years before I was married, when I had more energy and more, I don't know, zest and zeal. In Guatemala, little group of us decided that we were going to hike up to this top of this inactive volcano, and we were going to sleep up there overnight. That hike up the side of that volcano, and I don't remember the name of it, was extremely stressful and tedious and tiring. We lost the trail, and I remember just wondering if I was even going to make it up there. We got above the tree line. We were that high. You could hardly breathe, right? Your breathing was, it was so high. The air was so thin. And it took us, I think, 5 hours to get up to the top. And we slept up there overnight. But we were together as a group, encouraging each other on. Some were blazing the trail ahead. I mean, it was extremely steep. It was very, very steep. And it was dangerous. But yet, we pressed on, grabbing, scratching, clawing, climbing, pressing toward the mark of getting to the top. Because at the top, for number one, there was rest. You could lay down. And number two, it was supposed to be a beautiful sight up there because we were up above everything. One of the men down at the coast, 90 miles away, told us the next morning when he gets up, he's going to flash a mirror in the sunlight for us to see. And he did that, and we saw it. At least some of them did. I'm not sure if I was up yet. Keep on keeping on in your Christian life. And do not give up. And value those who are traveling with you. Do not become fighting those who are helping to blaze the trail. We need each other. Keys to reaching forward to those things which are before. I'll just move through these quickly. Number one. I need to have faith and believe in Jesus Christ to experience salvation. We heard that last week in our revivals. Titus 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 tells us that our own righteousness is as filthy rags. It's dirty rags, our own righteousness in ourselves. And as Paul teaches us in this chapter, our own, what we bring, our own, aside from faith and belief in Jesus for salvation, our own righteousness is filthy rags. I need to follow Jesus I need to follow him and I need to accept him. Works do not save a person. But it is also true that the saved person will be fruitful in righteous works. That is also true. But works do not save a person. No matter how right you try to live, no matter how good you live, no matter if you're a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and as touching the law, blameless, if you have never accepted Jesus, you're lost. Titus 3 and verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and those things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Those things are good and profitable unto men. Righteousness in or faith in Jesus Christ, he alone saves us. However, when we are saved and we live for him, there's a path of discipleship. And there are works that are done out of relationship. It's a whole other subject in itself. Number two, I need to focus on Jesus Christ and not myself. We're talking about keys to reaching forward. As we climb that mountain, I did a lot of focusing on myself. I was probably the one in the group that was the most unfit. And some of them were concerned about me, didn't know if I was physically going to make it up. And I thought about myself, but I also thought about the goal of getting to the top. We need to focus on Jesus Christ and not ourselves. We tend to focus on false securities. We tend to focus on earthly things. We mind earthly things. We tend to compare ourselves with others. Jesus is ready to save and help those who have come to the end of themselves and are broken before him. Jesus Christ wants all of us, 100%. He wants all of you, 100% of you. And those things that are gained to you, count them but loss for Jesus Christ. Is there anything in my life, do I have anything in my life that I hold on to more than Jesus? Anything that's keeping me back from total surrender to him? Is there anything in my life that I'm holding on to and say, why have this? I'm a good person, even though, yes, I got some issues there, but I am a good person. I go to prayer meeting every Wednesday evening. I haven't missed a communion. I am a good person. But yet, there's a spot in my feast. There's a spot in my life. Focus on Jesus Christ and not myself. Number three, forgetting those things that are behind. Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind. We may not use yesterday's vibrance or yesterday's victories to excuse today's indifference or failures. We may not live in yesterday's victory and say, well, we won yesterday. It's one thing. We must take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. Also, we must push through the temptation to become discouraged by past failures. forgetting those things which are behind. Where there is sin in our lives that is unrepented of, we need to repent and find forgiveness and healing. However, the devil wants to bring to our remembrance former sins in life and accuse us of our failures and hinder our joy. There is a difference between the Holy Spirit convicting us of sin and the devil accusing us. There's a difference. To live in the muddle of the past is to fail to grasp hold of God's promises for today and the future. It is essential that our life is open and honest before God, but forgetting those things which are behind yes, lives of sin, sowing the wild oats or whatever, bring with it remorse. But when repented of and given to Jesus, and things are taken care of and there's a new life, we must rest in the forgiveness that the Lord provides and move on in faith. It's how we're going to grow and reach forward. Many are those who live with a victim mentality, or who live in unforgiveness, or who keep muddling in the past and fail to reach forward to the future. I've said before of the man who slid off the roof. I don't know if this is actual happening, but he caught onto a tree branch and was hanging there, and someone below was telling him, "I'm here to help you. I'm here to take care of you, to save you. I'm here to help you. We're here to catch you." But they said, "You must let go of the branch. You must let go." Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are before. Number four. Well, it brings us right to that. I must reach forward. I must forget the things behind. I'm not saying about burying things under the carpet. Please understand me. But where there's a line drawn and there is a new life begun, while we remember, we must move forward. I must reach forward to the things before. I talked about our climbing in Guatemala. We reach forward in learning to know Christ better, to come to a deeper or fuller relationship with Him, to desire His resurrection power to be evident and active in our life, that power that transforms us from the old life to the new. To engage in His sufferings and to take it patiently. Thought of the song, "I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." Reaching forward to those things that are before. I want to just challenge you, church family, to reach forward. And upward. Reach for those things that will benefit your spiritual life. And say no to those things that will take you down. It will cause your feet to slip. Number five. I need to choose to align myself with those who are pressing toward the prize as well. Our associates influence our lives so much. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom and found himself surrounded by evil men. Choose to align yourself with those who are pressing toward the prize of heaven. the crown that awaits. 1 Peter 5:4 tells us, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I'd like to close by reading here again, verses 20 and 21. For our conversation, or our citizenship, or our community is in heaven, for whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. God is all powerful. There is nothing in my life or your life that is bigger than the power of God to subdue and to call it to peace and rest. Let us trust him. Let us trust him. And as we listen and as we hear the unfoldings of the world, let us trust him. Thank you for your kind attention. Let us kneel to pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity to gather again and to worship you. Father, we pray that our worship is acceptable to you. Thank you for salvation. Oh Lord, so often we get sidetracked and bogged down with the cares of this life. Father, help us to set our eyes on the goal, to fix them there. Help us to lay aside the weights and those things that easily beset us and run the race with patience. Father, thank you for your power that is available to us. Thank you for forgiveness. Father, thank you, too, for the church family here at Chapel, for each one that is gathered in this morning. That you would bless us together. Help us not to become discouraged. Help us to band together and to pull together. Father, thank you. As we pray in Jesus' name.